The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, guys.
Oh, hello.
Oh, are you proper today?
Oh, hello. Oh. Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. It's because you got a little upset last week when we had an actual person from Ireland come on the show and you couldn't do your authentic Scottish accent?
Well, fans who may have listened to last Thursday's Another Shot might know that I'm talking in this accent because the Spice Girls are back together.
And that's right. I saw that posted on our Facebook group.
Yeah, so for my full statement about that, you're going to want to listen to our Another Shot episodes.
Are you getting me tickets for my 30th birthday gift?
No, but I will say this.
Okay, that was a little blunt.
I didn't say... Look, I don't know how I'm
making it. You could
have
at least lied to me. Like, butter me up a little, John.
I will say this. I was going to hold this for a while.
Okay.
But I think now is the time. I picked up a little something for you.
Oh,
that
finally.
I think we'll have to wait. Because, you know, every year in the past, whenever we were doing our other show currently, mm-hmm. we've done a little gift exchange on the air. I think we did that last year, too, right? Around Christmas time.
Yeah.
So I'm holding it for then. And hopefully then you won't yell at me.
You're trying to get this to count for my 30th and Christmas, so you basically get out of giving me two gifts?
Wow, it's so funny you say this, because I picked it up and I was like, do I give this to her now and tell her like this is her 30th birthday gift, or like what exactly do I do?
Well, I'm excited that you thought of me to pick something up. You know what you can do for me right now?
What?
Could you just close that shade slightly? Because the sun is like right in my eye.
It's like literally.
And I can't see your beautiful face.
It's pretty dim in our little studio here, but there's one piece of sunshine right on Darren's face.
If I was staring at Matt, then I would say like, open the blinds, keep me blinded. I don't care about anything. That's much better. Thank you.
It looks like it's still.
Well, because it's coming off the it's coming
table.
Off of that. Maybe put it even lower.
Even lower.
You know what? Let's just go full cave mode. If we're serial killers in here, I might as well just be completely dark.
I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, just
you know
keep
I
going,
love
baby.
A cave life.
Keep going. Just
there you go,
sweetie. Now I can see.
Now you can do your craft now.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
You know who was on time today? Outside Megan, because Megan's perfect. Megan's always here before us.
Yeah.
I'll give you one guess.
Who was on time? You.
Well, of course,
you
was.
Yes.
I'm always on time. Matt was on time.
No, that's true. And I will say he was running around looking for orange juice just minutes before.
It's not like we do this podcast every week.
Right,
you know, because
exactly.
If we did it every week, then it'd be like, how do you not have these ingredients?
Then you would expect it.
You know, when we do it at the same time every Wednesday, I could see him getting confused.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I will say, too, Gina, the staff boozer, is not kind of helping with this week's drink. So it seems
so
like maybe.
Help.
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's what it is. Matt, would you like to say anything?
Matthew, darling,
Do you want to know what the drink is?
Yeah.
Is baby Tersh going to like it?
Mm.
Oh, baby Tersh. He's going to love
it.
It's going to make Tersh feel really good.
There
good.
Have been some crazy Tersh pictures on our Facebook group,
oh
by the way.
God.
Lots of speculation about what the baby's going to look like.
We're getting into that season, the holiday season,
yeah.
where Matt suddenly is appearing everywhere in your nightmares, in your
yes.
Walmarts,
yes.
in your everywhere. So just know, if you see him, don't be scared. It's just part of the decoration.
Yeah, and Matt's a weak human being, so it's not really...
Well, there's that.
Yeah, there's that, yeah. too.
Okay. Anytime, Matt.
Go ahead, Matt.
Okay, so we're having a screwdriver.
Ooh.
Okay, and there's a reason. It's because...
Let me guess.
There's two ingredients, and that's what you can mix together?
It's the murderer's drink of choice.
Oh.
She had them all the time.
Uh-huh.
In fact, while researching, it would often say she went into the Zebra Club... takes place in Sacramento. I've been to the Zebra Club.
Oh, another California.
Another California.
Sacramento, my hometown.
Yeah. Mm. Sector.
And ordered a screwdriver. It always says,
it
and ordered a screwdriver. And ordered, that's her drink.
Well,
okay,
just
jam.
I was hoping it didn't end with, she used a screwdriver, because that, is that what happens? Okay.
No, there's no connection in that way.
Here's a question for all of you. When you go out to a bar, okay, here's a question for Megan and Matt, because John doesn't leave his apartment.
I do.
If you were leaving your apartment hypothetically and going to a bar, what's your drink of choice?
Probably a ginger ale.
Okay, that answers that. Megan?
To be honest.
Oh, she likes Greyhound or Prosecco. Very classy. Mm. A Greyhound is grapefruit juice and vodka, which is one of my faves, right? Megan, I got that right?
Yeah.
Matt?
Manhattan?
A Manhattan. What's in a
on
Manhattan?
On the rocks.
Oh, on the rocks.
Mm. I take it with rye.
Why did I think you were an old-fashioned guy?
Yeah, I thought that, too.
You like bourbon, though, on the rocks, too.
I just like bourbon.
Yeah,
I
you
just
like bourbon on the rocks.
I just like bourbon.
What about you?
Vodka soda these days.
Vodka
soda, but I do like a Greyhound.
My real answer is usually a rum and Coke, just because it's a good,
you're
safe
child.
Little drink, because I'm a kid.
Yeah, you're a little kid.
And if there's any kind of fruits that can splash in
when
there, that
my brother,
would help, too.
When my brother, who's straight but looks identical to me, was single years ago, we were out at a bar, and he wasn't a big drinker, but he was starting to get more into it, and he ordered a rum and Coke, and I looked at him, and I go, never order that in front of a girl on a first date.
Oh.
And he was like, why? And I was like, because you sound like you're 8 years old. And I go, if you need a sweet drink and you want to sound like a badass, order a whiskey ginger.
Mm.
And he's been doing it
you
ever
get a
since.
Don't you get those pretty often?
Yeah, I like them. I kind of like, I had them so much because of the sweetness. It's kind of like a rum and Coke. You can't have seven.
Yeah.
And so I kind of outgrew it a little bit for a time period. I was taking it off.
Right.
But ever since then, but it's appropriate that you drink a rum
well,
and Coke.
Well, let me just say this. No, let me just say this, because a lot of people think I just stay home and I drink my Kool-Aid.
Sweetie, you said ginger ale.
And my it was a joke.
Uh-huh.
But you and I have been out quite a few times.
We have. I've dragged your
and
ass
I was
out.
Say,
that's what that
and
happened.
You and I have both been very drunk together at various times.
Yes.
So a coworker's birthday party from a few years ago at Stonewall.
I remember that.
Do you? That's good.
No, I do remember
that's
that.
Great.
I was out a little bit later than you, but you were out.
Yes.
You were out.
Oh, I'm just remembering a couple other things.
You remember a couple other things.
Okay, it's all that
actually,
be
no,
another
we left
episode.
Together. We left together, and we were pretty
that
hammered.
Place that we did. But do you remember the other one from a few years ago?
Yeah.
We went to someone's apartment.
No, that's the same
that's
party. Same party.
Was
you
it?
Two are having
I know.
A
we're having an inside convo.
Nobody knows
I don't know
what
why we can't name names.
Listen, this is good. This is Matt doing his job as a producer, getting us back onto a conversation that everyone knows about.
Yeah, because
so
I actually want a screwdriver right now. So I'd rather like get into the murder.
Let me just finish
by
saying.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were done.
1.5 fluid ounces of vodka. To 6 fluid ounces of orange juice. You just put orange juice in a glass with ice and you pour in some vodka.
Easy.
I'm going to put an orange twist in it. Very easy. Okay,
got
go.
It.
Good.
Don't love vodka, by the way, so just be minimal with mine, thanks.
I'm pretty surprised that Matt knows, like, the Tershburn incident, obviously everyone knows that, but, like, the fact that ounce is OZ and he wouldn't say, like, four Ozzes of orange juice.
Right.
Like, why?
He's like four Wizard of Ozzes.
Yeah, like that. He's like,
what?
Can we actually talk about murder people?
No, this is the Beat Matt Up show. What are you talking about? My God, fine.
John, kick it off because I'm already thirsty.
Yes, let's get into this week's episode. We're going to talk about Dorothea Puente or Dorothy Puente, however you want to say it.
Absolutely Google image this woman.
Yes.
She is a sight.
She's a sight
to
see.
She's a sight to see.
It's a great point, Darren, take a drink because you want to know, you want to visualize, I think, what this woman looks like. I think it helps.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dorothea was born in Redlands, California in 1929.
That should give you an idea of what she's looking like now.
She had six siblings and was the second of the youngest of them. Her parents were both alcoholics and her mother was a sex worker, according to the Los Angeles Times. She grew up poor and without parental nurturing. This is according to Sacktown Magazine. The Los Angeles Times reported that her father sometimes put a gun to his head in front of his children and threatened to kill himself.
That doesn't sound like a rough childhood at all.
No, that sounds easy breezy, right?
That's horrendous.
No, that's terrible.
I can only imagine the damage that that inflicts on anyone, let alone your kid.
Well, just like the image of that for a kid.
Horrible.
Ugh, that's horrible. Dorothea's father died of tuberculosis in 1937 when Dorothea was only 8 years old.
Wow.
According to Sacktown Magazine, her mother alternated between abusing and deserting the kids and lost custody of them in 1939. Now,
abuse all around.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is 1939, so like, I know that...
Depression.
Yeah, but also, like, you know, we hear about this so often now. I feel like our society, I don't want to say is more accepting of it.
Yeah.
But
accepting of what?
Of, like, I think deserting, you know, just losing custody of your kids because of neglect, essentially.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure it, of course, happened. But in the society in the 30s, you know, that kind of stuff was a little more taboo than I think it is now.
I think it's still taboo. I think it probably happened. We hear about it happening more now, just in terms of press.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Matt. Hopped on the mic.
Oh, hey, Matt.
I'm just sitting here.
Oh, okay. Then where are our drinks?
Just wondering what happened.
Great, glad
there.
You're sitting here, but, like, serve us. Like, doesn't seem like rocket science to me.
But yes, to make the point, it was just simply
that.
It
does seem like it happens. It, like, it seemed like a rarer occurrence back
there
then, although it might not have been.
Maybe
we just don't know.
Maybe not, yeah. Well, when Dorothea was 10 years old, her mother died in a motorcycle accident. So this is, like, tragedy.
She loses her parents before 10, both of her parents.
Terrible, yeah. And in, like, kind of tragic, horrible ways. The siblings were separated in order to find them all homes, and Dorothea was placed with relatives and foster homes, moving back and forth between Los Angeles and Napa. Connection to the case for me is I have family in Napa. So there you go.
Okay, I've been to LA.
Oh, and there you go.
So there you go.
There's your connection.
There it is.
According to the Los Angeles Times, witnesses at a trial reported that Dorothea had been sexually abused while at an orphanage.
Can this girl get a break?
I mean, it's like how many horrible things can happen to one person? By the time she was 16, according to the website World History, Dorothea was engaged in sex work, and she also worked at a milkshake parlor in Olympia, Washington. So imagine being 16 with no, like, solid family and having to find your way in the world. I mean, that's a tall order.
And at 16, both your parents have been dead for 6 years.
And again, in the 30s and the 40s. Oh.
What do you want me to do? Taste it?
Taste it.
Okay.
Oh. Strong or weak, he's asking.
It doesn't taste like it has alcohol in it.
Oh.
Hold on, I'm tasting another one.
Oh.
Better. This one's
better.
Mine.
Okay, good.
And I only have a mild case of herpes, so you should be
oh,
fine.
Oh, good, okay.
It's very mild, though.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
We didn't
cheers. Matthew, are you drinking with us?
Does he have one? I don't know if he
I hope
one.
You give oh, Megan alcohol because she deals with us. Okay, good.
Okay. Cheers, bitch. Here we go. We should get a microphone for the clink. You know what I mean?
Mine's perfectly strong and exactly how a screwdriver should taste.
Okay, let me taste mine.
Okay, so as you're tasting, I'm going to go.
It's good. There's an orange peel in it, which is giving me shivers and hives, but it's okay.
In 1945, just after World War II ended, she met a man, Dorothea did, named Fred, who was a 22-year-old soldier returning from the Pacific. The two wed shortly after, and Dorothea claimed she was 30 years old on her marriage certificate, when in fact, she was 16.
Interesting.
She also called herself Cheryl A. Rasili. Is that right?
Yeah, it's just a hard name to say, it looks like.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Fred and Dorothea moved to Nevada and had two children, but Fred left her and his parents raised their first child, while the second was put up for adoption.
Mm.
In a prison interview later in her life with Sacktown Magazine, Dorothea told a reporter that when she was 19 years old, she was shopping in San Francisco when she was tapped on the shoulder by a man who was a talent scout for the Radio City Rockettes here in New York City. That's our connection to the case.
I mean, literally, you can look out the window and see Radio City from us. So
definitely.
This is interesting.
She said she got a job dancing as a Rockette and split her time for a while between New York and California.
So right here in our neighborhood, Darren.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Dorothea claims she danced under the name Sharon Niarda, and as a Rockette met John and Jackie Kennedy. Plus, she became friends with Rita Hayworth.
Wow.
Rita Hayworth. I mean, you know who Rita Hayworth
is.
It's all bullshit.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Rita Hayworth's a little babe. The Rockettes told Sacktown Magazine they have no records of a Sharon Niarda.
Oh, well.
So,
Well, yeah. Let's see what happens.
You never know. Fred left Dorothea in 1948, and Dorothea moved to San Bernardino. She attempted to commit check fraud there and was quickly convicted and sentenced to 4 months. Upon her release, she fled probation and met a Swedish man named Johansson in San Francisco, marrying him in 1952. I almost can't blame her for this. I mean, what other life does she know?
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, that's it. Like, both of her parents were alcoholics, and they died tragically. Your mom was in sex work. Well, you know, I mean, it doesn't seem like she had a lot of stability. And I feel...
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Like, what? She doesn't know any other life.
Well, this is one of the things I really love, not to toot our own horns here on this podcast, but about our podcast and a lot of the shows on Oxygen is that you do learn about the backstory about how these people got to these places.
And that's all I'm saying. The Ed Kemper thing.
It's a human. Yeah, exactly. It's a human story, and we're all human beings from, you know, so anyway.
And it matters.
There's no way that this person would not be majorly messed up.
Yeah, exactly.
There's just
right.
No
like
way.
If she wasn't messed up, that would be a miracle.
And this is before, like, you know, awareness around mental illnesses and all the
totally.
Different
things.
Totally.
Even now, it's still pretty tragic.
Yeah.
The awareness around
totally,
that.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
The two lived seemingly quite unhappily for the following 10 years in Sacramento. They fought. She reportedly was drawn to drinking, gambling, and other men, according to Sactown magazine. In 1960, Dorothea was arrested in a brothel by an undercover cop after she offered to perform fellatio on him. And according to Sactown magazine, she told the judge, quote, "I was there visiting a friend when the cops came," end quote.
Hmm.
She served 90 days in jail. In 1961, Johansson and Dorothea were committed to a psychiatric ward, and she and Johansson divorced in 1966. So, I mean, not a short marriage, you know. It's a kind of a long time to be fighting with someone and being a little miserable.
Yeah, that's true.
But they seem to both have their issues.
So he committed her, right?
Yeah, he had her committed, he says.
Johansson had Dorothea committed to a psychiatric ward. That's correct.
Which, how does that work? Because I don't even know.
I don't know, because if you're a full-blown adult, don't you have to agree to go?
Wouldn't
you have to sign some? I mean, unless you were physically incapable or something?
Not if you're in the middle of some sort of total breakdown.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Well, now we know what to do with Matt.
Yeah, perfect.
And we don't need his permission. Dorothea's third husband, Roberto Puente, was 16 years younger than Dorothea. So Dorothea is not only kind
Look
of messed
her.
Up,
yeah.
She a cougar.
Yeah.
The two married in 1968 when she was 39 years old. That math is correct.
There you go.
She had lost much of her youthful beauty, but that didn't matter to Roberto. He was primarily interested in American citizenship,
okay.
As Sactown magazine quotes the book, Disturbed Ground. Dorothea and Roberto divorced the following year. Of course, there was a fourth husband who came and left within the same year in 1976, but by then, Dorothea had began her new path. I mean, okay, the images that Matt sent us of Dorothea today when he said, this is our serial killer.
Yeah, he emailed us, yeah.
Obviously, they're when she's much, much, much older.
Yeah.
But she had to have been a heartthrob when she was younger. Had to have been.
I would imagine, yes.
She seems to get these men very, very easily. Like she,
yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's a manipulation
total
tactic, but she's total a hottie. She has a way with words, I'm sure. She's probably very flirtatious and slick.
So far, this sounds like you more than anything.
It is me. I have been married four times.
Flirtatious.
She also probably is like sex appeal.
Okay,
you know
so it's
I mean?
Me.
Because
it's me.
That's you.
It's me.
Is it Dorothea or is it Darren?
Exactly. She might have been a Rockette.
Names very
Darren.
Similar. I don't know.
Names are very similar.
In 1969, she opened up a boarding house on the on 21st and F Street in Sacramento.
I've been
Do you know? Is that near where you grew up?
Yeah.
Like how close?
Absolutely.
Like the same block?
No. Like 20 minutes drive.
Not bad.
One day on another shot, we should get Matt's story about like how he came to New York. Because I feel like you're such a Californian at heart.
Yeah.
Is that true, Matt? Do you think that's true about
that
you?
That is definitely true.
Yeah. You know what? I want to put up one of those maps that they have in Homeland and like FBI agents have and like pinpoint where Matt grew up and then pinpoint all the other serial killers around him.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like we'll find a pattern.
We would find some interesting information, I feel
I will say when I came to New York, police were involved upon my
arrival.
Entry.
Oh.
Yes.
All right. Well,
I'll save it.
We'll do a profile on Matt. Yeah.
What? Oh, my God. We should.
We should do profiles of like each of us. Wouldn't that be interesting?
We'll call it digging the grave. Done.
It's like we work in digital production.
Just give me all the money now.
Okay, back to Dorothea here. As we mentioned, she opened the boarding house, which Matt has been to. It was an unlicensed operation catering to alcoholics and those in rehab.
That's why Matt's been there.
That's why Matt might have stopped by. Dorothea ensured that the operation's success by what is wrong with my brain today?
It's the screwdriver.
I almost said no dating, which is like a dyslexic thing. Dorothea ensured the operation's success by donating to political campaigns and charities. Her donations gave her the illusion of legitimacy and access to social circles.
Interesting.
Sounds similar to today's politics.
But it is interesting that she's donating to political campaigns and charities when you'd think that she wouldn't do that. Like, growing up poor,
not having
any stability, I mean, that says something to me about her.
Yeah, and it also makes you wonder, like, you know, was she making a lot of money off of this place?
Who knows?
Like,
enough to give it away.
Yeah. She claimed that she regularly rubbed elbows with Jerry Brown and Ronald Reagan and many other high-level socialites and politicians. Jerry Brown was the governor, Matt, of California?
Yes.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if he was a senator or governor. Photos in her home attested to meeting Jerry Brown and a few others at fundraising events, but her relationship to the Reagans and many others turned out to be a fable.
Okay, well.
Well, I wanted to also mention I'm very close with Barack Obama. I just thought I would let you know that.
He was just in the office.
He was just here the other day. He brought me some Chipotle.
You did.
I dated Rita Hayworth.
You did. That's right. I remember
that. I am Rita Hayworth.
You are Rita Hayworth. Nice.
Nice.
But while building her boarding house, she did gain a solid reputation with the community and social workers. She was known to accept anyone from alcoholics to drug addicts to the intellectually disabled or mentally ill.
And that's amazing.
That is amazing, yeah. And let's remember, she was a little old lady with white hair and glasses at this point. She looked very prim and proper. She kind of looked like the ultimate grandma.
Which is what the pictures that Matt had sent us really proved.
Exactly. According to Sacktown Magazine, Dorothea handed out hot...
Okay. I almost said hot
tamales, and I have no idea why I was saying that. It's homemade tamales. Megan, cut this
hot
out.
Tamales.
Or keep it.
Keep
who knows?
It in, Megan.
According to Sacktown Magazine, Dorothea handed out homemade hot tamales to people in the neighborhood, and she was often seen tending to her vegetable garden, roses, and other flowers in her yard. So
it's impossible to think that she
right. That's what I was just going to say.
Anybody?
Yeah.
Who, the idea of being a female murderer, I think to some people is still a little surprising, let alone being a grandma.
And also, you know, think about the Golden State Killer. A lot of the reports about him in his later years were that he was just a regular old guy.
Exactly.
Was
completely in the community.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that was exactly what it was. While she did make an income on her boarding house, Dorothea deemed it insufficient. She went back to her old ways of check fraud and began signing her tenants' benefit checks to herself. She was arrested for the scam in 1978 and served 5 years probation in which she was not allowed to operate such a boarding house. So basically, okay, Dorothea, you're doing some nice things here, but you can't be signing checks in your own name.
Yeah, that's like rule number one.
Yeah, right. She found work again as an in-home caregiver. She claimed she was nearly 15 years older and dressed conservatively to put her clients at ease. According to Sacktown Magazine, she used her access to elderly clients to steal from them, taking checks, cash, and other valuables from their homes.
You know, this still exists.
I mean, obviously, all the time.
And people especially target geriatric people because they don't know any better. And if they get a call that their grandson, John Thrasher, is stuck and needs $10,000 and wire it here, I mean, literally anyone would want to help you out in the family. But my grandfather's been targeted so many times.
I was going to say, this sounds familiar. Like, you've told me a story about this or something.
Yeah, and thank God our family was, like, super close. So he could just text my cousin Zach and say, like, are you okay?
Yeah.
You know? But it's horrendous, the fact that people do this.
Matt, did you have something? I just want to give you...
I just picture her saying, you know, she dressed up like she was... older.
Yeah, and, granny style.
You know, said she was 15 years old. She's like Mrs. Doubtfire or something.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Oh my God, I love Mrs. Doubtfire.
It was really good.
She would sometimes use tranquilizers on clients. Once she used a sedative to drug a 74-year-old man she met at the Zebra Club in Midtown Sacramento.
I've been there.
Of course you have.
I was watching him like lean into the mic.
I'm pretty sure she was drinking screwdrivers that night.
Yeah,
she
maybe.
She definitely was. You were buying them for him.
And maybe mixing them, yeah.
I do enjoy a good screwdriver.
Oh my God.
I know you did.
Not mother again.
Oh, yeah, he's in his mid-70s.
Megan just said, yeah, Megan's
thank you,
like
Megan.
Mid-70s.
Support.
He was as she took a diamond ring from his hand and stole other goods from his home. So, again, not a very honest person here, we're finding out.
He's just watching as she's taking a diamond ring from his hand.
That's what was reported,
okay.
Darren.
Okay.
The sex.
He's drugged.
I know,
oh, right.
But like,
yeah.
You know.
You
just
know.
Saying.
The Sacramento Bee wrote that Dorothea had met some of her victims while cruising bars in Midtown Sacramento. She was arrested in 1982 and sentenced to 5 years in probation until 1990. She told Sactown magazine, quote, "Those cases were lies. I didn't drug anyone. I'm not that kind of person," end quote.
She's a rocket.
Yeah, right?
Apparently.
Rita Hayworth, a.k.a.
Yeah,
Darren,
right.
Did it. Yeah. Before her release, a state psychologist determined she was schizophrenic, writing, quote, "This woman is a disturbed woman who does not appear to have remorse or regret for what she has done," end quote. And sounds like a couple of my exes.
Let's put it that way. Ask my girlfriend, it sounds like me with like no empathy and no emotion. So me and Dorothea have a lot in common.
Yeah.
In 1985, freshly released from prison without a license and against her parole rules, Sactown magazine reported that Dorothea opened a new boarding house at 1426 F Street, just blocks from her previous one.
And now I'm starting to wonder, it's like, okay, she's now had two boarding houses.
Yeah.
What are the benefits? What is she getting out of them? Because it doesn't necessarily sound like it's her life's work to be doing this. You know what I mean? Based on what else she was doing.
For mother and I, John.
Oh.
For mother and I.
Oh, that wasn't creepy in his weird voice or anything like that.
No. It's not creepy when men say mother. The new home had room for 8. Despite being visited by parole officers regularly, Dorothea, as we know, a well-practiced liar, convinced the parole officer she was not running a business and tenants staying at the home were simply guests or friends. It's okay. Dorothea claims she was Mexican and born in Mexico. Well, she does have a Spanish last name.
But she married into that, I think,
exactly.
Didn't she? So yeah, that's interesting.
And used this to build a strong relationship with the Hispanic community in the area, according to Sactown magazine. She donated to arts and education programs, gave affordable medical care to her tenants, and claimed she'd been a nurse in World War II. If you listen to her, she's fucking fantastic. She's Gandhi.
Well, I was just going to say, it's like, we hear about her donating this stuff, and it's like, do we say good job? Or
right.
Do we, like, how do you, it's kind of a hard, it's hard to figure that out.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Well, an attorney in Sacramento said, quote, "She was a respected figure to the Mexican community. She gave them clothing. She gave them food. She'd give advice to all these young Mexican women who came to her when they were trying to get divorced," end quote. She had experience.
Yeah, she definitely did.
But of course, she was a Mexican.
Yeah.
So while in prison, Dorothea had correspondence with a 77-year-old man. He claimed he was going to marry her and headed to Sacramento. The website AbsoluteCrime.com reported that he also gave her access to his checking account.
Uh-oh.
Then he vanished. When a mother named Monroe, great name, went into the restaurant business with Puente, everything seemed swell. But the following year, her husband fell ill with cancer. So Monroe moved into the boarding house to save money. Soon her health was failing. And when her son visited, he found her drinking alcohol, which she never did. But according to Sactown magazine, Dorothea had told her it would be good for her. Yeah. Drown out your problems.
She was a nurse.
That's what I do every Wednesday at 4.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the show.
4 days later, Monroe was dead of an apparent codeine and acetaminophen suicide, according to Sactown magazine. Despite the death being ruled a suicide, the family found that Dorothea had received $6,000 from a joint business bank account they had. Absolute Crime reported that the family was kind of suspicious, which is fair.
And so are these podcasters. Let's put it that way.
Exactly. Mm. On November 11th, Veterans Day, which is coming up
it
tomorrow,
is.
A Sacramento detective. Oh, no. Actually, it's today.
Is today Veterans
Sunday,
Day?
Sunday. This is when the episode comes out.
Oh, yes, when the
episode
today, comes
physically,
out.
Today, physically, but I'm just trying to speak to the audience.
I hear you.
Time.
Good thing, good on-air thought.
On 11-11, a Sacramento detective named Cabrera showed up at her residence asking about a man named Alvaro Burt Montoya, who had once been a tenant of hers and had gone missing. According to the Sacramento Bee, it was a social worker who had referred Burt to the home and then convinced police something was wrong at the boarding house. Burt was a mentally impaired homeless man, according to the Bee. Dorothea said that Burt had left for Utah after a trip to Mexico and happily let the detective and his two colleagues search her home. The detectives didn't notice anything suspicious in the home, but asked if they could dig in the yard a bit. She agreed and lent them a shovel. The garden soil had appeared a bit disturbed.
Okay, now we're getting into the dark and ominous part of this show. And
yes,
I have to say, as I was listening, I had almost for a split second forgot that we might even be touching on a murder this week, because it was like, oh, she was donating to the World War II Veterans Association.
Yay.
And it seemed like, oh, okay, so she was stealing money, and I'm like, oh, right, there's a murder involved.
Right, exactly.
Well, soon the detectives had found a very grisly sight. They uncovered a human leg bone, heavily decomposed, but still inside a dress shoe. This is giving me flashbacks. Did you happen to watch any of the episodes on Oxygen of Buried in the Backyard?
Yes.
It's like this type of stuff.
It was exactly that.
By the way, a very good show on Oxygen. You guys should go watch it. And that's just my shameless
plug.
No,
it's really good.
Yeah.
I have to say, do you know when this happened? When they made this grisly discovery?
When exactly?
November the 7th.
No.
Okay, that's today.
Today.
While we're recording
that's
this.
That's why we chose this.
Oh my gosh.
It's weird.
Creepy. Puente seemed surprised and said, I don't know what to tell you, according to Sacktown Magazine. Given the heavy decomposition of the body, detectives had to assume it was not the corpse of their missing persons case. They also knew that old bones often appeared in downtown and midtown Sacramento, yards from the 1900s, when families buried relatives at home if they couldn't afford funeral costs. Okay, so this makes sense.
Now we know why Matt has saved his money all these years.
And also, why he stayed in California for so long in
Precisely.
His life. Yeah. But that's so interesting. Like, imagine that, like, you know, your house or your property is buried on top of, like, a burial site. That's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, that's a little terrifying.
Yeah, and if you're the police officer and she's surprised, of course, I mean, look at her hair. Look at her glasses. Look, she's wearing an old flowery dress.
Don't insult Rita Hayworth.
I mean,
what a dick.
What?
Don't female shame here, Matt.
Yeah. While she had broken the rules of her probation, Dorothea did not deny this to the detectives and had done everything they had asked. Dorothea was taken to the police station for hours of questioning. Cabrera told Sacktown Magazine, quote, I started working her, but all along she was working me. She was tough. She never blinked, never broke a sweat.
You know, I do wonder if... Obviously, you know, she has mental illness or she's a master manipulator, you know, and she grew up maybe having to manipulate in order to get her way. But I do wonder if her elderly age and her granny looks just is giving her that confidence of like, who's going to come after me? You know, like, here's a fucking shovel. Go look in my backyard. Like, she could just think that a granny's going to get away with it. And to be honest with you, I don't disagree with her. There is a little bit of that, like, how could this poor innocent woman
That's what I was just saying about the beginning of the show. I'm like, oh, she seems like kind of a nice, sad person.
Exactly.
Well, she claimed, she calmly told detectives, quote, I have not killed anybody, end quote, and explained that she put excess trash in the yard in holes. Some of them she put concrete on to prevent weeds from growing up. Okay, that's a little bit far-fetched.
Yeah, I don't
know. You're digging holes.
I mean, just weed it out,
you're
sweetie.
You're putting concrete
in
there.
Seems like harder to put in concrete than it would
to just weed.
Yeah. But, okay.
I do remember Mother doing that.
You do?
Mother.
Oh,
mother.
God. Dorothea was allowed to return home. The following day, police and rubberneckers surrounded the property. Those are people, of course, that are just looking to see what's going on.
Who caused all the fucking traffic on the highway. Sorry.
Traffic problems.
People actually were climbed into trees.
Oh my god!
And staring into the backyard from trees.
I mean,
that'd be me.
I was gonna say
that
I would
totally
do that
be me.
With my iPhone and be like recording for the podcast. Like, okay, now I'm seeing
definitely.
Her walking out.
I won't wait in a line for like food, but I would absolutely be risking my life to see this.
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, okay, she's bringing her dog out now. The dog is peeing.
Nothing's happening.
Nothing is happening. And why am I in a tree?
Exactly.
Anyway, Dorothea told Detective Cabrera that all of this was making her nervous, so she asked if she could go get a cup of coffee with her nephew and one of her boarders at a nearby hotel. The police gave her the go-ahead, and Cabrera escorted her out of the property.
See, that's only happened to a granny. Happened to a granny.
According to the Sacramento Bee, quote, on the second day of digging, as police were discovering a second body in the yard, she calmly walked away wearing a red coat and purple high-heeled shoes, end quote.
Okay.
She's got style.
All right, Carmen San Diego.
Yeah, I know, right?
Carmen
Sacramento. That's funny. That was a good one.
The people in the room, they gasped. It then became clear what this was about.
And the fact of the matter was, he was a crook.
This is a story that is not well known.
This grave constitutional crisis thing.
But it really should be, especially maybe now.
That's really, to use a legal expression, that's when the hit the fan.
Oh my God.
We're on tenterhooks, right?
It's absolutely unprecedented. At least it was then.
Rachel Maddow and MSNBC present Bagman. Listen for free wherever you get your podcasts.
Cabrera watched her enter the hotel, and then he returned to the property to excavate more. So 21 minutes later, he discovered another body 1 foot deep in the ground, not necessarily the foot in the ground, which I think maybe listeners may have thought. It was enough to arrest Dorothea.
But did they find any weeds? No, they did not, because that girl's a good-ass gardener.
It's in the concrete.
It is. It's in the concrete.
Officers went to the hotel to arrest her, but she was gone.
Carmen San Diego never stays in one place at one
literally
time.
Carmen Sacramento in
yes.
here.
Yes.
Detective Cabrera told Sactown Magazine, quote, I had such a sick feeling, end quote, assuming that means, like, that she's now on the run.
Yeah, where the fuck is she?
And also realizing, I've discovered a body in a yard.
Another
and I
one.
Let the person go out for
a cup of
coffee.
Dorothea and her tenant had gone to a bar in West Sacramento. Matt, did you, let me guess, you live there?
Oh, I live there.
Oh, perfect. Wonderful.
He would live in a bar.
He would. Yeah, in the bar. Yeah. She drank a couple of screwdrivers, which we're having right now.
Yeah, I might need another one soon, Matt.
And then took a bus alone to Los Angeles to the Royal Viking Motel, which was near Skid Row.
Not a great part of town.
Just her kind of people, though.
Yeah, in a sense. That's true. She stayed inside for 3 days while police uncovered 5 more bodies buried in her yard.
Okay, this is a theme to me.
Yeah. By the way, can we talk about motels? I mean, not a lot of good stuff going down in motels these days, guys. So,
I'm just saying. She clearly doesn't have a lot of money.
Well,
she's donating it all to charity.
That's right.
Speak for yourself, John.
I know, that's true. What am I saying? The excavation of Dorothea's backyard had continued, though. The New York Times wrote that, quote, one body was buried in a sitting position with its head, hands, and feet missing,
what
end
the
quote.
Fuck?
That is one of the creepiest lines I've ever had to read on the show, because when you think about buried and like this show, I was talking about buried in the backyard, it's typically,
Matt.
You know, just buried in a grave, like a grave style, not in a sitting position. Like, how creepy is that?
Like, no major extremities.
Right.
Also, as we know from doing the show, it's not easy to sever limbs and
of course.
People. So, did she do that?
That's exactly what I was saying. Does grandma have the strength to do it? I don't know.
The case immediately went national, and the Sacramento police chief was under fire for letting Dorothea leave.
Oh, gee.
According to Sactown Magazine, quote, her escape brought coast-to-coast ridicule of police chief John Kearns and his department while authorities chased dead-end leads from Las Vegas to Mexico.
This is just teaching our audience that if you want to be a good serial killer, you make sure you're a granny.
Yeah, there apparently.
I like the headline of this segment that I'm about to read, because it's bitch needs a screwdriver.
Oh, yeah.
So after days of watching the news, Dorothea needed to get out of her room. She went to a dive bar near her hotel, my kind of girl, and introduced herself as Donna Johansson.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dorothea. Were you having cabin fever in your little motel room?
She needed to get out.
I just have to get out and experience
the
world.
She needed a little sun.
Yeah.
As Donna Johansson to a retired man there. She said she was a widow from San Francisco, had lost her luggage. luggage and ask the man where she might be able to get her shoe fixed. Just borrow the one of the dead bodies in the backyard.
Well, right, yeah.
As she drank screwdrivers, he remembered being attracted to her, but also frightened by her intensity, asking about his social security benefits and telling him they should live together.
Kind of like me and you.
Okay.
I'm drinking a screwdriver. I'm intimidated
by
your...
Are you an AARP? Yeah.
Yes, apparently.
They planned a date to go shopping, but later that day, the man recognized Dorothea on the news and called the police. The man told the LA Times, quote, "I kept looking at the woman. I felt like I'd seen her before." They found her in her hotel room and she complied with her arrest. That night, she was flown back to Sacramento with police escort on KCRA News, chartered plane.
Yeah.
During the flight, she was interviewed by the news team and said, quote, "I have not killed anyone. The checks I cashed, yes."
Imagine being on a plane with somebody who maybe killed people not knowing for sure.
As long as they have coffee, because she needs
a cup
of coffee.
Imagine having a date with someone who you know 100% was actually going to kill you.
Or
that's
the next day.
Yeah.
But then you recognize their face on the news.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Or imagine doing a podcast with somebody who probably has killed people, like Matt. You know,
and continuing to do it.
And there you go.
Dorothea followed that up by saying, quote, "I used to be a very good person at one time."
That's kind of sad.
I feel like anyone could say that.
Yeah.
That was the last the public really ever heard from Dorothea.
Wow.
Dorothea Puente was accused of killing 9 of her victims, according to the New York Times. All victims were between the ages of 52 and 80. There was a man she met after her release from prison in 1985. His corpse was found in a wood box by the Sacramento River. Dude, she's got balls. How's she doing this?
Yeah, and you know, I typically don't always think very hard about the physical part of it. I know you typically are really good at being like, he was 6'2", I'm 5 whatever, like how could he have done that? And for some reason that never registers, but in this particular case it really does make you
wonder how she's doing this. There was Monroe, her former business partner, who had previously been determined to have killed herself, and then there were her tenants, 7 people who at one time or another had lived at 1426 F Street. Police found that they had been tipped off to the murders early on, according to the LA Times. Quote, "The tip was discounted because it came from a heroin addict facing other charges." Mm. Again, she's got a boarding house full of these people, so it's probably hard to take real testimony.
Yeah.
All of the 7 tenants had died of different drugs in their bodies, but one was consistent across all corpses, Dalmaine. Dalmaine is a sedative, and Dorothea had purchased more than 1,000 pills from 1985 and 1988, according to Sacktown magazine, which seems a little bit insane.
The whole city.
It sounds like it. I wonder what her motive is for killing these people.
I know.
Like, no one ever did anything to her.
Oh, it's just money.
Stealing checks and stuff,
I guess? But she's already stealing those checks from her tenants. I mean, why kill her husband? Like, I understand she's asking about the benefits or whatever, but it just seems like she could have had a better plot to get money than have her tenants live in the place that she's running and, you know, pull off these granny style things.
She's just like, after they died, she just kept cashing their checks.
Yeah.
And hoped she wasn't going to get caught. Dorothea had convinced 2 doctors that she wanted to help her tenants sleep. However, forensics couldn't show an exact cause of death with any certainty. The bodies had decomposed too much, unfortunately. One tenant recalled that Dorothea had asked him to dig holes for apricot trees in the backyard at one point. He told the LA Times, quote, "She said she had contacted a nursery and they told her she needed a hole that was 4 feet by 4 feet and 5 feet deep. I thought that was a little deep, and now I know why." Dorothea made a measly $87,000 from the murders and used some of it to pay for a facelift.
Oh, how nice.
Which seems a little odd, only because you'd think that maybe not, to attract men to get more money.
Right.
But maybe also, I thought seemed weird only because you'd think she'd want to keep up that granny appearance to seem innocent.
Yeah, no, totally. Well, now it was time to think about building this case, because without any hard evidence, it was kind of a big challenge. The majority of the victims were not those sympathized much by society, alcoholics, drug addicts, and the mentally ill. It wasn't going to be easy for the prosecution. Witnesses in the case were very much in the same life vein as the victims, not an easy sell as reliable witnesses to a jury. But the biggest challenge may have been Dorothea herself. The prosecutor in the case said, quote, "Here's this grandmotherly figure in this beautiful beautiful restored Victorian house with all these azaleas and other flowers, end quote.
It's a grandma sign.
It's a grandma thing, yeah. On the other hand, here was a woman who was found to have 9 bodies buried on her property. The media had pretty much already found her guilty. Dorothea turned down a plea deal to avoid the death penalty. Her defense team worked to prove that she did not murder these people and only buried the bodies. It was a coincidence they kept dying.
Oh.
Imagine that kind of a defense.
That's a great excuse. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, the trial actually took 5 months, had 150 witnesses, and myriad of evidence. Dorothea was emotionless and collected during the entirety of the trial. Sounds it. One of the jurors told Sacktown Magazine, quote, "It's like she was watching a movie she wasn't particularly interested in."
Mm.
Yeah, because she's about to be convicted for murder.
Right, yeah.
Ultimately, 7 out of 8 jurors were convinced of her guilt, but there was actually one holdout. 3 weeks went by without a resolution. It nearly came to fistfights before the holdout gave in.
Wow.
He agreed to convict her of 2 first-degree murders and 1 second-degree murder, but not the others. When questioned, the juror replied only with, "That's all I'm going to give," end quote. You got to wonder what's going on there.
Yeah, I was wondering why.
Dorothea actually received a life sentence. She avoided the death penalty after the jury deadlocked on the issue. She was acquitted of the poisoning of Monroe, her business partner. Dorothea stayed at the Central California Women's Facility in Chowchilla. A reporter for Sactan Magazine who got an exclusive interview with her wrote, quote, "I ask what she misses most about Sacramento. She answers without pause. Going to church every day, cooking what I want, working in my yard." Yeah, I bet you miss working in your yard.
Those azaleas probably miss her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those azaleas were very healthy.
Right. They covered up all the dead body smell.
Apparently.
She insisted to the reporter that she was innocent of the murders, even though she'd accepted and that she'd never get out of prison. She told the reporter her favorite television shows were CSI, Criminal Minds, and Cold Case.
Oh.
I'm Dorothea.
You are.
I'm Dorothea.
And so are and a lot of people.
Those are all about murder.
Yeah.
I know, exactly. Dorothea died in prison in 2011 at the age of 82.
I mean, you know, we don't like to sympathize with the murderers on
this
case.
Speak for yourself, John.
I know, but this is a case of when you think about her childhood, it's just tragic from start to finish. It's
her
just,
whole life was kind of tragic,
yeah.
Even... granted, like, not a good person in any
yeah.
sort of way, but again, the childhood thing, her whole life from literally her first parent dying at 8
yeah.
to dying at 82 had to have been horrible.
Yeah, and then, like, her mom dying on the motorcycle, it was just, like, endless tragedy.
Horrible.
Well, let's get into some good news, which, Darren, that was a great segue that
yeah.
you used once before, where you're like, let's get into some good news, and
yeah.
I loved it.
Oh, okay.
I want to first thank, you're like, okay, cool, thanks.
Cool.
First, I wanted to say thank you to Shanna, Kimbra, and Andy in our Facebook group, and everyone else of you who always has my back with the latest Funko news. I know I talk about those a lot a couple episodes ago, and you guys now, every time you see one, you tag me in it. Appreciated, but yeah, they linked me to something that was exclusive on Target. At the time.
Oh, was this when you asked me if I had the red card?
No, I did ask you that once. No, that was the Dilophosaurus
oh.
Funko Pop from Jurassic
oh.
Park.
I
That's a whole other thing.
Two
yeah.
minutes ago.
Anyway, thanks, Shanna, Kimbra, and Andy. You're great. And I also wanted to say happy birthday to one of our listeners, Ashlyn. Her birthday is on November 16th.
Happy birthday, Ashlyn. You have a cool name. And thank you for keeping us up to date on John's Funko stuff.
Yes, thanks,
everyone
guys.
Else previously, I didn't say that. A listener named Lexi made a hilarious
oh
martini. A murder bingo game, which
should
as
we read
I,
some of these?
We should, but you know, it's like a bingo board, and then you know, you fill
yeah.
in your pieces. And I just noticed that one of them was like, anytime John and Matt is related to a case, so you're fucked on this one.
Right.
And then anytime Darren says fuck, so you're really,
really
fucked
did.
On this one.
Yeah, the center dot or whatever you could say, the square is Darren says fuck.
Yeah, so everyone's winning this week.
John says good point, which I done this time.
Insult Matt. Oh. You are going to be passed out.
Oh, this
You're
is perfect.
Be passed out.
Yeah.
Matt, the very next one was Matt interrupts,
oh.
which he did. Thank you, Matt. So there
okay.
you go.
So this week's a full board.
This week is a full board. We also have Darren says 100%, which you do that. I never really noticed.
You talked about the
yeah,
Spice
I do
Girls,
that.
Didn't you?
I did. Is
yeah,
that one
did.
Of them?
Yeah.
John
yes.
mentioned Spice Girls.
Spice Girls.
Hey, what can
he
I do?
He 100% talked about the Spice Girls people.
Peepin' and Prowlin', someone talking about binging.
We haven't done Peepin' and Prowlin' in a
we
long
haven't.
Time.
We haven't. We need that back.
Your wife's
Dan,
here.
Your wife
Dan.
Is here.
I forgot about Peepin' and Prowlin'.
Insult Matt. So anyway, thank you for making this, Lexi. It's so funny.
I love it.
You guys
but,
can find it on...
But Lexi, oh. where's the lime famine?
Oh, that's right. The orange peel incident, the
where's,
lime famine.
What else?
Look, there's only so much you can put on a bingo board.
Listen, it's a bingo board. Yeah. It's 5x5. Like, we have more than 25 instances on the show that are hilarious and amazing.
101 episodes, you know?
I mean, my God, Matt, he's so picky.
I know, right?
Matt probably didn't know how to spell bingo.
Are you going off on a weird tangent right now?
No, I'm going off on an accurate tangent.
They go off on a weird tangent.
Is I-4. So yeah, congratulations if you got bingo on that one.
Bingo.
Bingo. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Well, we won't see them.
Why?
Because it's a radio thing.
That's true.
So, like, you'll listen to each other. We'll listen to each other next week.
You will listen to us and love us more next week. Yeah, weird tangent. See you next.
Bye.
Hear you next time.
See? Bye.